Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Watchful Podcast. I'm Steve Burge. I'm calling in from down in Florida, in the southern end of the United States, and I have a partner in crime with me today. Vic, say hi.
Hey, everybody. I'm Vic Drover. I'm calling in from the chilly Midwest here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, USA.
And what are we doing here, Vic? We're doing a podcast, obviously, but anything more precise?
Yeah, Steve, this is our second pod in our Hot Air cast. And so today we're speaking with SD Williams from Danico Enterprises. Danico runs her Joomla agency from Chicago, where she's also teaching content strategy at DePaul University. SD uses Joomla for most of her client work, but she's really involved in the community also. She organizes the Joomla Day Chicago, as well as Joomla User Group Chicago North, which is a virtual user group. And so she's very active in that area.
Awesome. I think you guys are going to really enjoy this episode of the podcast. So with no further ado, let's say hi to SD. Hey, Vic.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, and SD, thanks for joining us too.
Thanks for having me.
You guys are really not far apart, right? SD, you're calling in from the north side of Chicago?
I am in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, just 26 miles outside the loop.
And Vic, you are basically in a big suburb of Chicago, Milwaukee?
That's right, and I'm in the suburbs of Milwaukee, so I'm on the suburb of Chicago in this case.
Okay. And you guys are real close together. Have you ever met in person?
A long time ago, when I first got involved with Joomla User Group Chicago North, Vic came in and did a presentation on Watchful.
Yeah, we had just started Watchful pretty recently. That must have been like 14, maybe 2014, SD?
Correct.
A while back, yeah.
Okay, so Watchful was fresh out of the box then. And SD, you've been running the Joomla User Group on the north side of Chicago plus the Joomla Day in Chicago for several years now?
Yes. This is my fifth year doing Joomla Day Chicago and my seventh year doing Joomla User Group Chicago North. Oh my gosh, I can say that.
That's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
You obviously put a lot of time and effort into organizing these events either every year for the Joomla Day or every month for the user group. As an agency owner, do you find that it helps you to be so heavily involved in organizing these events?
Oh my gosh, yes. It helps me in the sense that people are asking questions about solutions that they're trying to create. They also prove as a source for me to ask questions if I'm trying to create solutions. And it also helps to keep me on my toes. I stay on top of Joomla more than I would have otherwise. And it gives me an opportunity to reach out to various vendors to understand their products better and to help present those products to my user group so that they could use them as part of their solution.
You're an agency owner, right? Do you run Danico Enterprises?
Yes, I am the founder, owner, and chief solutions officer for Danico Enterprises.
How many of the Danico customers have come through the events that you hold? Is there a close relation between the two?
There is not. What generally ends up happening is the user group members tend to consult with me on their projects, or they may refer other projects to me. So there's not a direct correlation?
Yeah, when I was doing Joomla User Group Milwaukee years ago, that was our experience also, that the user group was mostly agency owners with clients who probably would have been out of their element in our meeting. So a lot of our topics were things that you cover in the Chicago North Conference. Danica, I see you've got custom fields coming up next week at your user group. So if you're in the area, drop into that. But yeah, we had a lot of agency owners and integrators who wanted to learn more, get perspectives, have questions, not necessarily technical questions, but also some technical questions. I don't know if you experienced that also, SD.
Definitely, I do. I do a lot of question and answer, both through the user group meetings and after. Like I said, it helps keep me on my toes so that I understand Joomla the best that I can, because I think it's one of the greatest systems out there. It also enables me to connect with integrators who may want to increase their skills to be more development minded. So I enjoy doing it, even though it is a lot of work.
So if the user groups are maybe a lot of perhaps competitors, maybe collaborators, people in a similar situation to you, how do you find your customers? How do you go about getting new customers in the door?
My customers are word of mouth. I started very small, sort of doing this on the side. And I had a couple of customers who were so ecstatic about the work that we did that they started telling their friends. And to this day, they still tell everyone they meet, you know, everyone who says, I got a guy. Well, in this case, they always say, I got a girl. And they,
so it sounds as if you started almost accidentally, that you did one or two sites and you did such a good job that someone else referred another customer to you.
I started off in client server applications, working at, you know, big business kind of development. And a friend of mine approached me and asked if I could help a friend of hers who was getting started with her own business build a website. And of course, you know, I know I have all the skills to do it, but, you know, I'm thinking big business versus small. And I ended up finding Joomla by accident and building out a site for her. And then a couple of other people saw her site and asked, well, how did you get that done? And so I found myself doing my day job, doing client server applications, which morphed into SharePoint consulting, and then doing Joomla in the evening. Till finally I decided I wanted to do Joomla full time.
Okay. So when was that? When did you jump both feet into running your own agency?
2013.
And Danico? What does Danico mean?
Danico actually started in 2007, just so I had a way to handle all of the one-off projects that I was doing. And it stood for Danny's company because one of my nicknames was Danielle. It's a long story why. But so, it ended up being Danny's company, and then it ended up shortening it to Danico. And
oh,
then
okay.
It ended up being Danico Enterprises because we wanted to be able to do more than just, you know, a singular type of business.
Okay. So at the moment, do you run an agency? And I've put up a couple of really great quotes from talking with you over the years or working with you at the Joomla Chat conference and other things. One of them that I've heard from you is that you work with businesses who want to increase their online footprint without increasing their tech overhead.
Correct.
Which seems like a nice way to put it, that you want to get people online mm-hmm. without additional headaches.
I do. One of the things that was obvious to me, both in my past career and in my current career, is people often want to be a part of the solution. They want to help. And in this case, they want to be a part of ensuring that their content is current and accurate and people can find it. So in order to do that, I looked for ways where they could harness the power that Joomla has, but in a way that they would be most comfortable. A lot of my users are not HTMLers or understand CSS or anything like that, but they have great stories and great content that they want to share and they want to be able to do it on their own.
So how do you approach that in Joomla? Do you make some pretty major modifications to make Joomla easier to use for them? Or do you have any tools you rely on?
So Joomla is actually pretty easy in the sense that you can create articles to do 99% of what you need it to do. What I struggle with, though, is people want their sites to be super fabulous in their look and appearance. And so they will commission a designer to come up with this fabulous looking mock-up of their website. And then my challenge is to do it in a way where they can continue to be a part of updating that content and not lose that look and feel. To do that, I use things like Regular Labs, Articles Anywhere, because that's a great tool in order to be able to literally put your articles anywhere. I use custom fields so that I can create entry forms so that people can have a guide for how the content needs to be structured so that they don't have to remember, oh, I have to put a title here or I have to put author here or anything like that. And then I use the custom field along with a tool called Easy Layouts to make the fancy layouts that the designers have come up with.
Oh, okay. So Easy Layouts is an extension which allows you to do almost like a little page builder style layout work of custom fields on the front end?
It is. You know, developers can do it by doing Joomla overrides for the template, doing PHP overrides and things like that. You can do some wizardry with CSS because I've seen people do it and it amazes me. But a lot of times clients don't know what they want, so they want to be able to finagle with it a little bit. And even though a designer may give you what they think it should be, as you start to put that content in, you find you may not want it that way. Easy Layouts allows you to change that look and feel without doing coded overrides. so that you can create these entry forms, so that you can create the layouts for your content to keep it looking fabulous.
SD, are you giving your clients, your content creators, back-end access, or is this something that they can manage through the front-end content submission workflow that is baked into Joomla?
Both. We have two levels of content creators. One, you know, there's those that all I want to do is enter my stuff so they get that entry form so that they can put in their information. And then we have others who are a little more advanced and want to play with things and do it more page builder-like. And so they will have backend access, and we will train them on how to use easy layouts to move things around should they want to do so.
So custom fields are a relatively new feature in Joomla, last couple of years or so, but you find them to be really reliable? You find them to be good enough to build fairly complex sites on top of?
Yes. Before custom fields, we still followed the similar concept of having clients do articles and things like that, but we had to use other types of extensions to achieve the same thing. We tend to use particles from Gentry 5 and other things like that, and we had probably 20 or 30 extensions that we would pull from in order to keep that experience simple for the client. But that meant a lot of work on our end to be able to achieve all the various layouts and things.
Oh, okay. So it's almost as if people's brains are accustomed or find it very easy to working in a form input, that if you give people almost like a hierarchical list, fill in this field, then this field, then this field, then this field, they find that very straightforward, very comforting.
It also helps them. It helps get over that barrier of, oh, it's going to take so much time. Oh, it's so hard. You simplify it so that they focus more on the messaging that they want to present than the process to get it out there.
So you have custom fields as a way to make Joomla easier for your users. Do you have any more tools that you rely on all the time to simplify Joomla?
Aside from custom fields and using Articles Anywhere and using particles for various layouts, we use Gantry 5 a lot because it allows us to effectively create custom templates without actually having to write code to write custom templates. And it allows us to be more agile in how we approach changes from clients, because we also want them to feel like they can grow and that their site can grow with them. And we don't want them to feel like every time they want to make a massive change or a growth change, that it's going to be a huge undertaking, you know, hundreds of man hours kind of thing.
SD, are you using any other page builders like Gantry, for example, or it is a true page builder if you think of it. And if so, what do you do for performance wise? Sometimes those things can get a little heavy. Do you have any standard procedures for making sure the sites stay, you know, within your acceptable speed, you know, load time limits and things?
We only use Gantry as a page builder. We've tried several of the others and our clients didn't like them. They felt like they were more complicated than they needed to be. And if we can keep it at a way where they do articles and, you know, add their images and things like that, or use our entry forms, they felt that was much simpler for them. From a performance perspective, basically we do things, you guys are familiar with the Joomla SEO site and the Joomla SEO and performance book. We follow what's in there. We don't add any additional extensions. We do run GT metrics and a few other tools to check where things are. Most of the times we have image issues. So we do a lot of work in optimizing our images before we upload them, but we haven't seen a lot of performance issues just sticking to Gantry and sticking to the Joomla best practices for performance.
Okay, so you rely pretty heavily on the work of Simon Kloostra?
Yes.
Who writes a lot about optimization, particularly for SEO and speed?
I do. I actually use it in my class too.
Okay, because you run an agency and you teach as well, right?
I do. I teach a graduate level class at DePaul University where the focus is designing for content management systems. And while it's meant to be CMS agnostic, I do require my students to do their final project in Joomla.
They don't get any choice. You're the teacher.
No, they don't get any choice.
I've got a local teacher here. He's a professor at the Waukesha County Technical College, WCTC. And he has a similar, he tells me that he lets them choose, but somehow they always just choose to build in Joomla. Teachers can be influential like that.
Yes.
You do get quite a lot of freedom working in in one of those roles, when I was working at I was training full-time before I got more into software in recent years, we used to sell our books into universities and colleges a lot. Oh, mm-hmm. Still do. And we found the teachers in your situation had quite a lot of freedom to choose their materials, to choose their platforms. Some of the teachers who weren't teaching in the evening or weren't teaching in a kind of adjunct area, if they were actually teaching the formal university courses as part of a computer science degree, for example, they were very restricted in what they were allowed to do. Yes. But you found like you got quite a lot of freedom to teach the students how you want to?
I do. As an adjunct professor, I can choose my own book. I can choose my own curriculum. And one of the things I like to do to be fair to other CMSs out there is we do take a look at all of the ones that I am familiar with, plus some that I'm not. And we do comparisons on the popular ones. And I do.
You can say that. You can say their names if you want.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Just the W word, maybe?
No.
Or the D word?
We do have very heated discussions about them. We do talk a lot about, you guys familiar with the Magic Quadrant by Gartner?
Yep.
And their report?
Ooh, yes. Yep.
And so we talk about that and the various ones that they come out with. And it's a lively discussion. And so then I talk about how great Joomla is.
So for people that may not know, the Magic Quadrant from Gartner is very, very enterprise focused, right? It tends to be Adobe. It tends to be Sitecore, the companies that have a lot of money to throw at analysts, or a lot of money to throw at the marketing department, tend to end up on the quadrant.
They do. We also talk about the DIY CMSs like the Wix, your Squarespace, your Weebly, and things like that, and the differences between those and the other systems, the open source systems like Joomla.
So at Danico, you are 100% Joomla at the moment?
No. I wish I am 99% Joomla. I do have a couple of WordPress sites and a couple of Wix sites as favors for people I know, which is great in the sense that it gives me a chance to keep up on what they are doing and compare and contrast to my beloved Joomla. It also is an opportunity for me to look at how I can do things differently, if that makes sense.
Would you turn down a customer if they came to you with another platform that wasn't Joomla?
Not necessarily. I have been successful as converting people into Joomla.
You take them in thinking that, knowing that they want something else, and then you try and sweet talk them into using Joomla?
I try to always pick the best platform for their need. And a lot of time that is Joomla, but sometimes it's not.
Well, I think it's also important, and you've kind of alluded to it too, as a professional, you need to keep up on your, you know, continuing education, let's call it, or I think, Steve, you might have called it CPD when you were still in the UK, professional development. Mm-hmm. And part of that is being up to date on what's happening with other publishing platforms. So using Medium, for example, I have a few articles on Medium that I've published, or obviously WordPress, or, you know, to be honest, I haven't used Drupal in about 10 years. I really need to dig in and just have a look and see what it's about these days. And that helps me give better advice to web development clients when I used to do a lot of that. But also, what do agencies need? You know, what, because that's my focus now, of course, with what I do. So it's important to keep that perspective and keep learning. I think for a long time, I stayed inside this little bubble too long and thought there's only one way. So I think I've learned a lot by, you know, being a little adventurous and looking at some other platforms.
I love continuing education. One of my biggest challenges right now is controlling my R&D budget, because I'm one of those I will go out and I will tinker with things. But I do it because I want to be able to provide the best possible solution for my clients. So I want to understand what's out there and what their options are. And I have lost clients because something else was a better solution and I wasn't able to help them with that project or that site. But I'd rather do that than to put them in something that doesn't meet their need. But they also refer me to others too.
So how does Danico work as a business? How do you pay the bills each month? Is it fresh and new projects, or are you mostly a maintenance service with a big stable of existing customers? What's the business model for you at the moment?
It's a split 60-40 with maintenance and new projects. The way that we work right now, because my business is largely referral, is my maintenance clients are clients I've had for years, and then they recommend me to other people. And then what we do is we build their sites. A lot of times we don't have to start from scratch, but sometimes we do. And then we build in training for the client so they understand what we've done. And if they want to participate, which we do encourage, updating their content and things like that, we give them training for that. We give them documentation as well. And then they go into our maintenance plans. 99% of the projects I do go into maintenance after we're done. And then that maintenance is, we handle the big stuff, like the Joomla updates, the extension updates, any security patching and things like that. And they focused on the content. From there, there are projects that come along where we're doing new builds or we're doing redesigns. I just converted someone from WordPress to Joomla and I was super excited. And they are asking me, why were they ever in WordPress? Because some of the things that they were trying to do, while WordPress is capable, it's something that Joomla just handles a little bit better. And so they went from a development project into a maintenance project.
It sounds as if the new projects are almost always kind of a lead generator, that the
right.
You do the project, you take the money from that project, and then also convert the customer to a maintenance client for
pretty much. And even those that don't go directly into a maintenance plan, they come back for periodic tune-ups, as we call them, because they feel that they have enough skills or have been taught enough by us where they can do the maintenance on their own. But then they come back on a quarterly or semi-annual basis to have us take a look and make sure things are going so well.
I was speaking with a Spanish developer last week, and he said he has started building brochure sites for free on the condition that they have a one-year maintenance plan, a minimum one-year maintenance plan paid monthly. And so he's got a good workflow that he can build, you know, for certain markets anyway, pretty quickly, you know, your five-page brochure site. And for him, it's a much easier sell, is what he told me, to give the site for free. And it's just lead gen for the maintenance. And once people are in the maintenance, if they're happy with the service, they tend to stick with it. And then, you know, eventually he captures back his investment in the site. So it's funny how the web is going that way.
Yeah.
There's a company down here in Florida near us who were an old school agency, but they were telling me that they had made a very similar flip. They asked for no upfront payment, and they would do all the work of building a customer site. And they would just get the client to sign a contract to pay, I think, $250 or $300 bucks a month over 2 years. The initial build of the site might be maybe $3,000. And then there'd be some maintenance work chucked in. The agency would eat all the cost of building the site initially, and then they would get paid out over 2 years. When the 2 years are up, hopefully the client flips to a maintenance agreement, which from the sounds of it, they nearly always did. And so it was very much a lead gen in terms of doing the project, eating some of the upfront costs, and then making the money on the long term from the maintenance.
It's an interesting idea. We don't quite do it that way, but we do end up converting, you know, majority of our clients into maintenance plans.
Are you ambitious? In terms of, hey, I'd like Dan & Co. to be X number of people and to have Y number of sites? Or are you more focused on running an agency that deals with people you like to deal with, deals with the kind of customers who are right in your sweet spot?
When I was younger, a lot younger, I used to dream of having a conglomerate. I wanted this huge company, you know, locations around the world and, you know, all those various things that covered all of my interests. Now I am ambitious. I want to grow the company in a number of different ways. I have a ton of ideas. I would like to have a number of people who share my passion for helping to enable, encourage, and empower users to maintain their sites. But I'm also one of those, I like to plot my path so I know where I'm going before I take a leap. I think I'm ambitious. I like to work with people I like to work with. Anybody does. But I also do take on difficult clients, even though they may not be my favorites. I try to do a great job for them.
I find that generally to be an indicator for agencies. Are you the kind of agency that likes to deal with customers who you enjoy working with, it's taking on the difficult customers occasionally where it's something that has to be done if you're going to grow the business.
The difficult customers help you grow. And that's, you know, I'm always looking to grow and learn and do better. So I have to do that from time to time. I can't stick with the ones that just like me to like me.
Well, you know, I found the same thing, that often the difficult customers were the ones that would push us the most. Mm-hmm. And they'd give often the most accurate and helpful feedback in terms of what we were doing wrong. The customers that weren't sending much feedback then would often come and send a ton of difficult feedback right at the last minute. If someone is engaged and actively sending feedback right from the beginning, it can be a more constructive approach rather than ignoring the project right until the deadline and then
getting
all the feedback at the last minute because they were busy doing something else beforehand.
Yes. I like the difficult ones. I don't want to say I like them, but I do like them because they do challenge me and us to be better.
So have you been paying any attention to the discussion about Joomla 4 that has kickstarted this year? I think a lot of it came from the meeting that Vic just attended mm-hmm. in Spain, where people were discussing what Joomla wanted to do mm-hmm. over the next couple of years. Have you been paying any attention to that and to the progress on Joomla 4?
Not to Joomla 4 specifically. I did participate in the Future of the Forum. I think that's the name of it.
FTFIC. You went there.
Forum for the Future.
Okay. Thank you.
So it's easier to say than it is the acronym.
I attended some of the sessions that were specific to the user groups and things like that and some of the ideas they had around it. I have been watching Joomla 4 from the perspective of we've done a few sessions here for our user group on what's coming. And I tried to help with some of the documentation and things like that through the Pizza Bugs and Fun event. So I'm keeping up with it to a certain extent.
What do you think? Are the other integrators in your area, the people who come to your user group, are they planning to update? Are they planning to sit back and see what it's like? Are they planning to do something else if it breaks? You know, if Joomla 4 is too much of a break from Joomla 3, what's the feeling in your area, would you say?
It's split right now. There are some who are actively planning on how to present to their client, how they're going to upgrade them. There's others who are looking for alternatives in case it is too cumbersome. Then we do have some self-maintainers within our group who are looking at what will they need to learn in order to be able to handle that upgrade, or will they need to find money in their budget to hire someone to help them. Me personally, I am positioning my projects so that they can as easily as possible upgrade to Joomla 4, and then knowing that there's going to be a handful that may not, and we may have to do something different.
I mean, Joomla 3 is going to have several years of shelf life ahead of it. Mm-hmm. Projects that don't want to upgrade won't have to upgrade anytime soon.
True.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping not to have to wait to the end, because that would be a Herculean effort to try to convert everyone right at the cusp of 3.9 going out of support.
So we're pretty early in 2020 now. Mm-hmm. What's on the radar for SD this year? Are you thinking heavily about Joomla 4, Joomla Day Chicago? What are you looking forward to this year?
This year, I'm looking forward to Joomla Day Chicago being one of the biggest ones since I've taken over.
Oh, wonderful.
One of the reasons is we are currently the only one scheduled for the U.S. right now. The event is October 17th, and it will be in downtown Chicago at DePaul University. I am looking for speakers.
Oh, wait, did you get an insider deal or something to...
A little bit. It also, I'm looking for speakers and sponsors in order to continue to grow this event. We are looking at, and I believe I have secured someone that will do a beginner session for those who are maybe not so comfortable attending the sessions because they feel maybe they don't know enough. We will be doing the certification. We're maybe doing Pizza Bugs and Fun, which I just found out is the same day.
Oh, that's good timing. Okay.
Yeah. There's a ton of things going on for Joomla Day Chicago. I was able to get things out earlier this year. I'm also thinking about, or actually I'm in discussions of doing more teaching. So my time at DePaul is winter quarter. So I'm looking at doing something later in the year as well. perhaps with another institution.
Oh, awesome. You really enjoy the teaching part of it?
I do. It's so much fun to see people get it, you know, when that light bulb moment goes off. And I do get a little bit of that with my interns. I host interns from a local high school district out here, students who are interested in building websites. And it's interesting to see the high schooler view and then to go to school and see the college view of the same information and how they process it. So I want to continue that through the later part of the year as well.
What's the difference? The high school kids and the university kids are only a couple of years apart, but they have a very different approach?
They do. The high schooler, depending on what they've studied in school, a lot of them study Swift, which helps them with mobile apps and things like that. And so transitioning into creating a traditional website is often a challenge because they don't have the HTML skills or the CSS skills, because learning Swift is not necessarily the same. And then in college, they've all heard of WordPress or Squarespace or Wix or something like that, and they may actually be using it somewhere else, but they've never given much thought to how do you go about building a great website. They pretty much pick a template, throw their content in, and go, voila. So it's an interesting difference.
Yeah, I know Swift is big, even I think in elementary and middle schools, lots of kids, 10, 11, 12, picking up on the Swift programs, which are teaching them to process actions, like a lot of sort of basic computer science ideas of if statements and running loops and so on. But yeah, definitely not very HTML or CSS focused at all.
And mine have had very little instruction on structuring content, you know, how to make it easy for people to find what they're looking for. They just now, oh, it's a button. I'm going to stick this here. It looks good.
My children are learning, Steve, at the schools here, I have a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old, and they're learning, when they learn computer education and programming, it's all visual. Let's create a game so that character X goes to place Y and does X, Y, Z, but it's all drag, drop. Mm-hmm. You're still building in the logic, but it's there's certainly not teaching them, you know, bold tags or CSS3 or anything like that, SAS or less.
Cool. Well, good luck with the Joomla Day Chicago and with the teaching as well, SD. Where can people follow you if they want to keep up to date with Joomla Day Chicago and what you're up to this year?
JoomlaDayChicago.com. I try to keep it up to date as much as possible, but I write like 6 blogs a week for different sites. So okay. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. If they want to present, if they want to sit in, if they want to just provide feedback for Joomla User Group Chicago North, we are at JoomlaChicagoNorth.com. If they want to contact me directly, they can go through DanicoEnterprises.com.
Cool. You're not much of a social media person, right?
Yes and no.
Okay, I know I'm not much these days. I send a tweet like once every few weeks at this point.
I'm a little better than that because I follow both Danico, Joomla Chicago North, and Joomla Day Chicago are all active, I say in air quotes, on Twitter more so than Facebook or LinkedIn.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, SD. It's been a lot of fun to have you on the Watchful Podcast.
Awesome. It's great talking to you guys.
Thanks, SD. Take care.
Take care.